I am 38 years old. I do live in Chelmsford with two little girls. And I was also adopted. When I was about 4 years old, I was taken away from my birth mother as there was a lot of problems. I was a troubled child, disturbed, and nobody couldn't handle me. So they brought me to a place in Sudbury, Children's Aid, for the first night. I was pretty scared because I was new. I didn't know anybody there, and I wasn't protected by my two brothers, which I have. So I was pretty scared. There were teenagers there, and it was pretty late, so I knew it was, you know, time to go to bed. And they brought me into a room alone. There were bunk beds, and as soon as you walked into the room, right in front of you would be bunk beds. And on to the right, there was a window against the wall. And there was also a, a closet. Sorry, I just got a lot of things on my mind. So I was too scared to go to bed because it was my first night. And I kept getting out of the room because everything was bothering me. There was like a mosquito that kept flying around my head. I couldn't sleep, and they got upset, the teenagers, so they decided to throw me back into the room and lock me in. I couldn't get out anymore. I couldn't go to the washroom. I couldn't go anywhere. So, I did cry a lot that night because, you know, being alone, it's scary. I would say, I don't know how long I stayed there, probably just a night or two, because the first night, when everything was quiet, I remembered something woke me up. And when I looked by the window, I thought it was just a car parked, being parked with the lights hitting on my window. But there was no sound, and I thought maybe, oh, it's my birth mom coming to pick me up. I can go home again. But it wasn't. And all of a sudden, this light had these figures popping in front of the window because of the brightness of the room. It was bright enough that I could just barely see their faces and their body, but I remembered they were very skinny. They were about 4 feet tall. They were the size, I remembered they were a little taller than me. Because I was only about, 3, 4 years old. I knew that they had a bigger head than their bodies, but around them it was like when you see a ghost, but darker in the middle. So it was more solid, a darker. But then I blanked out. I don't remember the rest of it. I just remember the time that I've seen them. There was a few of them. I think there were about two. And I just passed out after that. Now, since that night, I didn't understand what happened to me. I was scared. I didn't understand what was happening to me. I thought it was all normal because I was just a little girl who thought maybe it's something I've never seen yet. You know, it was all new. But I was pretty scared because I didn't understand them. So I figured after that night, I remembered I thought maybe if I could hide, they wouldn't find me the next night or the next night. So I decided to go into the closet. They always kept me locked in the room, so I couldn't go anywhere. So I thought I'd take the blanket, the pillow, go into the closet, close my little door of the closet, and they'll never find me there, because I thought, hey, it's dark. I love the dark. They can't find me in the dark, right? So, but it didn't really thought if I'd be quiet, they wouldn't find me. But they did find me one night, again, they opened up the closet door slowly, and I remembered the fingers pushing the door open, and they poked inside the closet. I couldn't see them very well, but I knew they were pretty short. They weren't, I thought of maybe it was another child, but it wasn't because my door was locked. Nobody can get in, nobody can get out, you know, unless they, an adult would open it. And I was so scared, but I wanted to scream out, but I couldn't. It's like I was paralyzed and hypnotized. You know, you're just looking normal. You don't look scared, but you're just looking at it and wanting to say something, but you couldn't. And they, all they said is not to be afraid and that they weren't there to hurt me. And I blacked out after. Again, I blacked out. I didn't see any light at that time because I was in my closet. It was pretty dark in my closet. So if they did come with a light, I didn't see it. I just saw them. After that, I was so scared that I decided to create a imaginary friend to protect me because I was scared. It's not normal for a child to be this scared. And I felt that my imaginary friend would protect me like an angel. And I believe in my, I would call her, let's say, an angel, because a few times I begged her. I wanted, you know, I wanted a new mommy, I wanted a new daddy, I wanted to get out of here, I wanted to be protected, and, I just didn't trust anybody. I didn't trust, for many, many years, I did not trust even my parents that adopted me. I didn't trust no one. I didn't like anyone. I would do my tantrums. I had attacks, these anxiety attacks. I was very disturbed. I was very angry inside. But one day, I really, really needed to get out of there. I know that the social worker took me out of there because the people that owned this children's aid couldn't handle me anymore because I was that disturbed. I moved about 6 times. Foster parents, they couldn't handle me. I had nightmares after nightmares every night. And I remember, I didn't sleep very well at night. I was a very light sleeper. After a while, after a few months, because I was too scared to sleep. And that's why I couldn't learn very well at school. I didn't start until I was 6. I couldn't talk. I couldn't write. I couldn't read. And I do remember at the 6-year-old, I couldn't even ask for peanut butter. I had to point. I would point. My mom remembers a lot of that. When she at first adopted me, noticed that there was something wrong, but she couldn't figure out. She knew there was a few things that had happened to me before I went to Children's Aid, but she also knew that she was getting into a lot of work with me because I was like 13 children in one. Very disturbed child. I never hugged my new parents. I never gave them a kiss goodnight. I remember my mother, I'll call her my mother, the one that adopted me, because I consider her my mom and my dad, of course. They had a hard time with me because I just would not sleep. I wouldn't fall asleep. I'd go up the stairs. I'd play until like 2 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't fall asleep. And when I did fall asleep, I would have these nightmares, screaming like it was the end of the world. Often enough, she came into my room trying to comfort me and stuff, but she got to a point she couldn't handle me either. She did call Children's Aid and said, there's something wrong with this child. She we can't handle her. And she just needed to talk to somebody, I guess, to say, don't hang in there. You know, it'll get better eventually. But I do remember many nights not sleeping, because you'd hear just a nail hitting the floor, and I'd hear it. I'd hear my mom sneeze upstairs. I mean, usually you wouldn't be able to. I'd hear a train go by, and it's about 10 miles away. I have very good ears, and I'd hear it, and I couldn't sleep. And a lot of times in the morning when she'd come and get me, she'd find me in the closet, all set up with my toys, and I loved my toys. I had big tutus all in front of me, in front of the door, and I remember that because I didn't want anybody to open the door. I wanted to be all cut, like hiding. I was hiding, like under all these tutus. And she kept asking me, like, you know, you should be in bed, you know, like you shouldn't be in the closet. Are you comfy in there? And it's like, yeah, I'm very comfy. I actually feel comfortable, right? And a few times I've done that, and then she asked me, why are you sleeping in this bed? Like, I in the closet, you should be in bed, all comfy. And I said I was too scared to sleep in the bed. And she tried to convince me to talk about it, but I was too scared to tell her because I was afraid that she would think that I'm just losing my mind. But one day I did tell her, and I did say that I was scared because they're going to come and get me. I'm scared. I don't want to get hurt. And she said, who's going to come and get you? Your mommy won't hurt and come and get you again because we adopted you. No one knows where you are, Kakut. And I said, no, not her. It's someone else that was coming to get me. And she said, there's no monsters here. There's nothing coming to get you here. And we left it as that. And I figure, what's the point of telling you? You're not going to listen. She thinks it's a monster trying to get me, but it's all imagination, but it's not. It was real. I was scared. For many years, I stayed in the closet. That was about maybe until I was maybe 9, 10. Then I started sleeping in my bed because I felt more comfortable, more safer, I guess. But I'd still have nightmares, but not to the point that I've seen them. I think I just rather block them out because they really scared me. I didn't understand why me? Why not somebody else? I have enough problems, you know? But as I grew older, I was still hard to handle, my God. I'm very impressed with my parents. Well, my mom now, because my father passed away quite a few years ago. But I decided that I was listening to the news sometimes on the radio and stuff like that about somebody seeing UFOs and stuff, and I thought I'd, you know, look into it more. And when I was about maybe 12, 13 years old, I realized, wow, I've seen those things before. What the hell are they talking about? Maybe I'm not alone. Maybe there are other people. Because I was pretty young, you know. And I thought, I'm going to look into it more. And then my first time hearing somebody saw these creatures, I thought, holy shit, I'm not the only one. And I was so happy. You know, when a 12-year-old saying, oh my God, I'm not the only one, there are other people out there that have seen this, seen what I've seen. Maybe they've seen them when they were young too. You know, I was all excited because I wasn't crazy. You know, some people think that, oh, this was, you know, this girl's really whacked up. Well, I'm not, because I was young, and when this happened, but when you hit about that age, I mean, you don't hear about UFOs and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden you hear, oh, there was a crash, and then you hear somebody talking about abductions, and I thought, And that's when you see these photos. The first time this photo popped into the screen of the TV, and I thought, holy shit, you know, that almost looked like what I saw. So I got involved. I decided to, you know, investigate it more, even if we had computers and stuff. So, but TVs, as I got older, 15, 17, I would look into the computer, and I'd look and write down UFO or, you know, aliens, and it just got me to realize that there's a lot more people out there that really have seen them. And so, but the fact is, even after a few years, you know, life still goes on, right? You can't just stop your life over this. It's just, I grew up the way that I am because of the things that I know. And of course, I got, you know, like I had a job, and I was working, and then, you know, I found my ex-husband at work, got married, had children, and stuff like that. And of course, we are divorced now. There are, he was involved with the police and stuff, so I figure not get involved in that. But I've noticed that the corner of my house that we bought together, the electricity wasn't working very well. I can't buy DVDs, CDs, because they would just break. Brand new ones. And I mean, I bought quite a few of them. It cost me a fortune just to keep buying them because the girls wanted to watch TVs, right? And movies. But every time I'd buy them, it would break. So Jenny, my friend, said that she had a CD that she could lend me, or a DVD actually. And she said it never broke on her, it was brand new, it was really, really good. And it lasted a long time. So I said I'd try. Well, I broke hers too. Nothing I could do about that. Sorry. But anyways, I decided not to buy that. I figured there's something wrong with this house because a few times we thought there was a ghost in this house because we heard things. We heard footsteps. We heard knocking. We heard doors opening and shutting. We always felt somebody was watching us in this house. Camille and my daughter, Crystal and Camille, they have each their own rooms. They, especially Camille, would have nightmares all the time. Like, she couldn't sleep in that one room. So we decided to switch them in different rooms. And for a long time, one of the rooms was, like, too scary for both of my children to sleep in. My youngest couldn't handle this room, that one room. Did not want to sleep in that room. So they had to fight to sleep in one room, in the other room, the good one. And I kept asking, like, why can't you sleep in that room? Like, there's nothing wrong with it. But they were scared. They didn't like that room. And I was wondering, why are you so scared of that room and that only room? They love that room. So for a long time, I needed to sleep on the couch. She wouldn't sleep in her room. But then as they got a little bit older, well, you know, I kind of pushed them, hey, listen, get in your room. Like, I mean, come on there. I want to, you know, have my time alone, right? So that was set. They still have problems sleeping in that room. They fight for, okay, well, it's my turn to sleep in the other room now. They still do it. They just don't like that room. They're scared shitless. And, but I figure, before I start talking about my children more, I will explain this one situation that happened to me a few years ago. I don't know how long it was, maybe a few years ago. It was after my ex-husband left. And it was at night, I went to bed. And I'm used to waking up very early in the morning because of my children. But that morning, I would say night because it's still dark, but almost to the time that you wake up at 7:30, something woke me up. I was on my back. And I wasn't, like, I was, like, almost, like, right awake because it was almost the time that I usually get up. I heard, it was a sound, it's like a weird humming sound. Like somebody was going, but deeper. And it was in my ears. It wasn't like beside me. It wasn't over there. You know, it was like, you know when you have a ringing in your sound, in your ears? Like a ringing sound? That's what it was. It was inside my ears, what I heard. It wasn't a ringing sound. It was a humming. And as soon as this humming started, all of a sudden my body started tingling. And just that scared me. Then I was focusing on the paralyzation that I was feeling over my body. I didn't like that. I was right awake because it woke me up. My eyes was right open, okay? And I know how my room looks like. It was not as dark because there were light coming in. I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. It felt like something was pushing my chest. I couldn't breathe. It scared the crap out of me. I was sweating. I started opening my eyes even wider. And all of a sudden, I felt these hands around my head, behind me, keeping me in place. It wouldn't, I couldn't move. I tried to move my shoulders. I forced it, and I kept forcing it. And I was trying to move my hands to stop or push whoever was holding my head. And I felt it because I was right awake. I wasn't sleeping that day, like that morning. I was waking up. And all I did is, like, I was in my head, I was begging to let go because I couldn't breathe anymore. It was, like, so hard to breathe that I thought I was going to die that night. Like, that's how bad it was. And as soon as I said, oh, God, it's like everything just stopped. Everything all at once. And I, like, you know when you feel like you need to move and all of a sudden you can move, you just get up fast and run to the living room. That's what I did. I ran to the living room. I looked back. I thought, what the hell just happened to me? I was right awake. I went into the girl's room to make sure that they were okay. And they were. They were in their rooms. And I figure, I hope this never happens again because, you know when somebody touches your head, you feel it, right? You do. You literally feel that head so heavy. And it's like they were keeping me in place. And I felt, you don't feel the fingers, you feel this, like your palm of your hands or your fingers are together. And that's what I felt. Not this, this. And the sound disappeared. As soon as the sound kind of, not disappeared like that, it slowly, like, you know, it's gradually slowed down and disappeared. But as soon as it was doing that, that's when I felt the movement again, and I could move again, and I could breathe again. And that's when I got up and left. I ran out of that room really fast. But that would be one incident that had happened to me. I didn't see any light that night. I didn't see any lights. I might have been extra tired that night too, so I don't know. But all I did, felt is that. That's the only thing I felt, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I keep hoping to God that they're not going to do this again because that scared me. I couldn't breathe. That's scary. I could have died that night. And I was thinking about my girls. Like, who's going to take care of my girls if I die? You know? There's no daddy around. But anyways, that was an incident that happened. There was another one that my daughter was with me at the time, my eldest. And we were in the kitchen and stuff. It was dark. But all I saw was this, I don't know how I could explain it. It's like a gateway or something. It was like something opening up in front of us. And it was bright. But it was how far was it? Maybe about 6 feet away from us. And all of a sudden I see these things, these humanoids. I don't know what they were. They had like a cloak and a hood and a black cloak. So they were hiding their skin and their faces. Two of them came out. And I got scared. And I thought, okay, they were coming after my daughter because they wanted my daughter. They were trying to go in front of me. Like, not in front of me, but passing me to go towards. I knew right away they wanted. And I figured, you're not getting my daughter. And I told, go hide, go down, like, go hide. In a corner somewhere. I think it was under a counter. It was hiding. She was hiding. And she was scared. You could tell that she was screaming my name. And I was going like this to try to, like, my hand up to try to stop them. But they didn't want me. They wanted her. And I knew because they started going towards her. And what I did is I went in front of them and I kept trying to push them away from my daughter. And I said, you're taking me instead if you're going to take somebody. Take me. Don't take my daughter. I'd die for this child, you know, for both children. And as I kept pushing, they backed up and they said that they wanted, like, I knew they wanted my daughter, but I made damn sure that they were going to take her. And as I was getting closer to them, because I was scared shitless of this beings and I didn't know what they were, but as they backed up closer to their, how they got in, where they went through, one of them kind of moved their head up and I saw their face. It doesn't look like, they don't have a huge nostril, like mouth and nose. Okay, it's not sticking out. It looks like human, but an ugly human. No offense. They are ugly. And I figure maybe they are the lizardmen, reptilians. They have ugly eyes. Now, I know I didn't mention the eyes earlier because that gives me nightmares, their eyes. It's like a very dark brown red, okay? They're dark brown, but mostly red. It's like Indian red color. And they're not shiny, they're dull. They're ugly, like they're dull, they're not bright, they weren't shining. You just saw the lines in their eyes, and that gave me nightmares ever since then, and they both had that.
Vertical pupils?
They're like lines, but opened up a bit, like almost like a cat's eye, but it's not. They had different colors with the red, like a darker red, a lighter red, very different. I can't explain it. It's very ugly, very spooky, big eyes. The skin was not green. It was green, but not that kind of green that most people are used to green. It's a green that you don't see often. I'm trying to see if... we don't see these greens. Okay, this is a green-gray. I can't really see any gray-green that I see now. And it's a dark one. Like, it's pretty dark. The skin is not like scale, like snake. It's not. It's like elephant, but not more detailed. More sticking out more. It's more bumpier. More lines. You see the lines. You know that show V? Doesn't look like that at all. Okay, nothing like that. I don't know where they invented that, but it's not that. Nothing like that. It doesn't even, it's like a crocodile skin. Very thick. Anyways, their fingers, they have like about 3 fingers. Or 4 maybe, because I don't see the other one. I just saw 3. Long. They might have had 4. Don't quote me on that. I don't know. But I do know that their nails are very, very long. Like, you know, sometimes you see the witches, they have those long nails there, like that. They're very long, okay? They don't look like ours. And as I was forcing myself for them to take me. So what I did is I more or less put my whole weight, and I meant my whole weight. When you are protecting a child, you will do anything to protect them. And my strength more or less put my whole weight on them, and I pushed them back to where they belong, where in that little, this opening. And I pushed myself, and I went with them, and I got scared. I was scared because I couldn't breathe as soon as I hit that. When I went through, my daughter was alone, okay? And my heart was just pounding. I couldn't breathe. They were holding me. They were holding me, and then we were going towards this weird-looking tunnel. And I've never seen this tunnel before in my life. I mean, it was very bright, very, vibrant white. There was no light bulbs. It was like the whole area was lit up. And all I saw as we kept going further in, I was having more difficulties breathing. I couldn't breathe. And I kept telling them, I can't breathe, you know. I was holding my, as they were holding my arms, I was like holding my neck and my chest. And then all of a sudden I saw us further up. And I didn't understand what I was doing in front of me. But then I realized that they were taking my spirit, not my body. It's like, as I got closer to the body itself, it's like my spirit was going closer to the body. And as soon as I hit my body, I went and it just opened up another doorway and I went through. And they disappeared. I didn't see them anymore. Not since then. Not that I could remember. And I was standing up, I was outside, and there was a lake there. There was a hotel, like a castle hotel on that area. There were tables on that side because the lake was further up. It was like an ocean. It was very beautiful that day. It was very bright. It was a different color brightness. It wasn't like the sun. It was like in heaven. It was like heaven. It was just, all the colors were so bright and so vibrant. These colors you can't explain. You can't. You have to see it. And this beauty of the view was just phenomenal. I loved it there. I felt the heat of the sun. I felt the wind blowing my hair. I felt everything. I know I was there. But there was a man there that didn't belong. That he was a little overweight. He had a suit. He was looking away from me. And I was only looking at his back. And I couldn't talk. It's like I was just thinking in my mind. Because I couldn't talk there. And I was walking slowly towards him. And only in my mind, I kept saying, I need to get home. I need to get home to my daughter. My daughter's alone. Like, I'm scared here. Where am I? And all he did is he turned around, he smiled. He said, you probably don't understand why you're doing here or what's happening to you. And all I could do is, I couldn't talk. And all he said is, you will understand someday, so don't be afraid. Someday, everything will be explained to you. And I blacked out after that. I don't remember the rest. All I remember is that. And there is another time that Jenny explained to me that I don't remember. The reason why I didn't mention this part is because I guess I'm blacking it out because it affected me a little too much. And she remembers the story I told her a while back. And she had to explain to me the story that I told her a long time ago, that the same reptilians did take my daughter at one point. She was in a bed, on a, like in a hospital bed. She was laying down, and they were around her. And I guess, apparently, I went in front of them, and I wanted to take my daughter with me. And I guess I tried to push them away from my daughter because I was afraid for her. But I do remember her being on a hospital bed, like a cold metal, whatever that was. It was shiny. There was no corners. There was no corners on it. They were just laying on it. But I can't remember this story because I guess it affected me too much because they won. They took my daughter away from me without me knowing. And I think I tried to block that out. But after this happened, it just, like I said, I blacked out. I must have blacked out because I don't remember anything about that. But I do remember I was watching a conference on the computer, and I was very interested in it because it was a woman. It took like 3 hours conference, and this woman was explaining to her group, and there were about maybe a good 100 people, and she mentioned something that really shocked me. Because I realized, wow, I had the same dream they all did. And it freaked me out because I had this dream. And it was a dream. Okay, it wasn't real unless they brought me somewhere, but I figure it's probably a dream, just like everybody else. That it was a little, it wasn't dark, it was, the sun was going down. It was in the woods. I was outside, there was a few houses around, I don't remember the area. But all of a sudden you see thousands after thousands of these UFOs blocking the whole sky. Some, you see, they were really small and they were just flying all over the place. But they weren't touching the floor of the earth, okay? It was just floating, like they were just flying around. But these ships were motherships. And I mean, there were hundreds of motherships. Mothership means they were so huge. They were the size of friggin', oh my God. They were high enough that you could see them, but they were so huge. I can't say how big they were, but they were humongous. They were the size, I would say, baseball field, maybe bigger, probably bigger, but there were hundreds of them. And then there were thousands of smaller ones, and just like thousands of these little orbs flying around. And that's what I remembered this, these, it was like invading Earth. Like there were, oh my God, you couldn't even see the sky. That's how many there was. I remembered it was shiny, like it was sunny, but that's before these ships showed up. You know, the sun was going down, there was no clouds. But once they showed up, you could never even tell if there were like clouds. That's how much there was. There were so many of them. And I was just looking at these ships. It's like, where the hell are they coming from? And why am I dreaming this? So when I was saying that I was watching this show, this lady talking at the conference for 3 hours, she mentioned that dream. She mentioned that there was this one year that hundreds of people had the same dream the same night, mentioning that there was like a UFO sighting, major UFO sighting that night in your dreams. And it just freaked me out because I had the same dream. I don't remember which day it was or what night it was. All I remembered it was the sighting in my dream. And she mentioned the same thing. And the people that were in the audience agreed with her. So you kind of figure, oh my God, but there were hundreds of people who had the same sighting, the same dreams, and it just freaked me right out. So I thought that was pretty cool. I thought, wow, I had the same dream as them. Like, at least, you know. But that was just that one time that this happened. I thought, wow. Because this lady, she's a blonde, older woman, and she's pretty skinny, and she looks like she's really involved in the UFO. And my, I don't know if she's still alive. I don't remember the name of that woman. But it was just this conference. I don't know where it was. It could have been in New York or something, but I saw it on YouTube, and I had to watch it because it was just phenomenal. But anyways, it did happen to me, this dream. But it didn't happen just once. It has happened in the past, these dreams, about, you know, UFO sightings, and there were hundreds of them, but that particular one felt real. It felt like I was really there, and I could literally touch, you know, like they were real. Now, I know that I need to explain a little bit about my daughters, but now I know my daughter is pretty sick, and I mean very sick. Now, all her life, she had many problems. We knew there was something wrong, but the doctors never did anything. She was about 2 years old when we discovered that she was always white. Like she had a white skin, big eyes. She wouldn't eat too much. She had problems going to the washroom. She would only go like every 3 days, every 4 days. She would bleed. It would harm her for years. You'd see her face crying, begging for it to stop. When she could go to the washroom. She was very tiny. In the winter, she would have problems with her fingers because she has psoriasis. It got to the point that it was like peel after peel, and to the point that she has no more fingerprints. Let's not tell her when she gets older. She has no fingerprints. So the cops wouldn't be able to find her. She wouldn't be able to control her heat and her cold. She, her feet and cold, her fingers were always cold, like freezing cold, even in the house. In the winter, when I would put the heater on, for us to touch the heater, you'd burn your hand. Because it's hot. It burns, you know, it's like, ow. But my daughter would sit on it and not feel a thing. She wouldn't feel a thing, it didn't hurt her. And she wouldn't even have marks. No marks at all. No red marks. She just sat on it. I have enough proof because my mother was around when this happened. Jenny was around when it happened. Like, she would just sit there and not get burnt. I got fed up because I knew, well, one day we went and brought her to the daycare, and the lady who owns the daycare noticed something was different about her. And she asked me, is she a dwarf? Because she seems old enough to be a little taller than what she is. And no, she's not a dwarf, you know. So I decided to bring her to the family doctor and asked her, okay, like ask him that we need to do something here. There's a problem. She's getting sicker. There's something wrong. Her hair is like raggedy doll hair. It's rough. And so he just looked at her eyes for some reason and decided to send her for thyroid blood test for her thyroid. And as soon as I know that right now at this time it's not mentioning any UFO or anything about my daughter, but there's hints that there was a problem and it didn't make sense. So when the doctor called us and brought us in to tell us there was a problem with Camille's thyroid, and he said that in most cases you don't see this in children, only in elders, but her thyroids were 100% finished. They didn't work anymore. And we discovered it when she was 5. So throughout her life, her thyroids were probably finished. But when she was born, she was 3.3, and there was no problems. She was perfect. She had no problems breathing. She had all her kidneys. She had everything, all perfectly formed. So there was no problem, just small. She stopped growing. That's all it was. So we discovered that maybe because of her growth, it's because of her thyroid. It wasn't working. So she needed to start medication on it. But the medication took a long time because we had to figure out what medication, how strong we should give it to her, and we played with that. So it was hard on her to change. And as soon as she started these medications for her thyroids, we discovered she was just phenomenally hyper, dangerous prone. She would cross the street without even looking. She wasn't paying attention. She wasn't concentrating. And she would space out a lot. So we were like, okay, you know, like, snap out of it here. Like, stop going to the moon, because we called it she would go to the moon when she'd space out. And we discovered that she had ADHD. So when we started giving her medication for ADHD, it really helped me and her, because she was just out of control. I couldn't handle her. So, yeah, that really helped us a lot. So, thank God that my other daughter wasn't as sick, but she used to go to the hospital all the time because of her asthma. But eventually we got that controlled. She started the medication for her thyroids and then her ADHD, and then they decided to send her for a whole whack of tests, EEGs, MRIs, blood tests, the whole thing. Now, when we went to EEG, it showed that she was having seizures every 2 minutes for a few seconds, every 2 minutes. And we were shocked that her brain was just out of control. And even when she'd sleep, it was worse. It was even faster. So we discovered that she would have seizure, but it's borderline epileptic. So she started taking medication for seizures. And as she got older, and we'd go to CHEO Children's Hospital, she would get a bunch of doctors. So she probably, we knew that she was having problems with her eyes as well. And she was severely nearsighted. She couldn't see from far. She couldn't see from close. So when they had glasses, eventually it kind of gotten worse, because then she started getting lazy eye. It would just float. Lately, of course, worse. But one day she had a, we had another test for her stomach, and we discovered that her kidney is 20% and the other one's 80%. So she was pretty damaged inside because of, for so many years she didn't go to the washroom as well, and it was just grow, and it didn't explode, but it extended. So now that every time she poo or has poo inside her, she doesn't feel it. It just lets go. And that's why she wears pull-ups at night. And she was having problems with her muscles, her bones. She was getting deformed. And, like, her hips were, like, sticking out more. And then she had, like, a smaller neck. Her shoulders were really high up. She was deformed. And the medication for her thyroid did help a lot. It got her placing herself a little bit better, looking more normal. And one day she had a major seizure at school. 27 minutes she was out. She was gone. Like, her eyes were open. She wasn't blinking. She was just gone. The ambulance showed up, checked her blood sugar, and checked that it was like 1.7. And we discovered that her blood sugar was always low. We just didn't know. So now we know that she's hypoglycemic as well. And for her to have her sugar that low, it's normal. She felt good. She felt great. But when we got to the Children's Hospital in at CHEO, they checked her hormone as well. The reason why is because she wasn't growing as well. Her bone wasn't growing. So when they checked, it was like a flat line. There was no hormones at all. She had no hormones. It just wasn't working. So they decided to start her with a needle. They called her growth hormone deficiency. So we started giving her needles every day. And we noticed that her hypoglycemic sugars, her sugars, would actually keep level with that needle, with her hormones. It would actually level her sugar like to like 4 point something, 5 point something, pretty good. But then she felt sick because she wasn't used to it. She's used to having low sugar. it's not normal, but to her, if she feels good, there's a problem. If she feels sick, that means her sugar's fine. She used to never eat. She used to eat maybe 2-3 bites out of the whole day, and maybe 2 to 3 days later, she would eat a good meal, but that's it. She doesn't eat well. She just felt full all the time. Now, when we started taking these needles, after a while, after maybe 3 weeks later, the sugar started going back down. It's like she was immune to it. It wasn't working anymore. Now, the doctors in Ottawa are a little confused with, because they're scratching their heads with her, first thing, her blood sugar. Now, her body makes sugar. Doesn't happen unless you eat. Now, my daughter makes her own sugar just to keep her alive. They've seen this in babies. Never seen this in an older child. Babies, newborns, does that. Not an 8-year-old, 9-year-old. Doesn't happen. Doesn't exist. The doctors, let's say, would check her, and her blood sugar is at 2.2, let's just say. It's pretty low. It's dangerously low. They wouldn't feed her. They wanted to see if it would go up and go down, because that's what she does. So, 30 minutes later, we checked her again. It was 6-point-something. In 30 minutes, it went up. High sky. It jumped. She's safe. She's fine. She's good. Now, her sugar is very unique, only the fact that she makes her own sugar. You don't have to give her sugar. You don't have to give her pills to bring it up. You don't even have to eat. It'll go up on its own. Now, that even the doctors, the specialists, were shaking their heads with that, because it doesn't make sense. That shouldn't happen. But yet, her body does that. Her gland, okay, is perfect. There's no damage with the sugar. Like, the sugar gland is fine. It's not working too hard to give her sugar. There's a sugar in her body somewhere that they can't discover where, that is making her stay alive. A few times it went down to 1.2. She should have been passed out. She was awake. She was fine. She was good. That should have passed somebody out, like pass out. And she never passed out. She was good. So that's why they're all confused, that she feels great when it's that low, but when it's that high, she gets very, very sick. Okay? So now we know. You're sick? Good. You're good. It doesn't make sense, but it's true. But when she feels great, then we got to worry. Her sugar's low. And it is. It is low. Anyways, like I said, the needle did help at some point, but then it stopped. The needle, her hormone needles, has also not helped her grow. Now, the doctor's specialist was, certain that this would help her grow, but it hasn't. For the past 6-7 months, she's been using it. It hasn't worked. Now, she is confused. She doesn't want to bring up the medication because it could damage her inside. So they wanted to send her to a specialist to get more tests, maybe even take chunks of her bone and some of the juice to see if that there's a new disease that came out, something that they've never discovered yet, because she's a one of a kind, they say. She's got about 7 specialists in Ottawa. 7, that's a lot. And they don't understand her. So they decided to do these tests. Once these tests are done, they are sending them to the finest scientists around the world. Not doctors, scientists. Because they can't figure her out. They're hoping maybe somebody out in this world would have the same problem as her. Because she's not a dwarf. She doesn't even have any symptoms of dwarven or any other, she doesn't have any diseases that so far that we haven't discovered. What I figure is she is, as the doctors say, very special, very different. But I don't know how to describe her. She doesn't look sick. if you look at her, she looks like a like a 5-year-old. She's gonna be 9 next week, next month. She doesn't look 9; she looks 5, but perfectly fit, perfectly. She looks normal. You know. Now, I know that she has nightmares every night, and I wish I can help her with that. She's afraid of one room that I have. Scares the crap out of her. When she used to have these nightmares, she'd wake up in the middle of the night. I'd run in her room and try to calm her down. Before I even get to her, she'd look at me and looked at me like she couldn't recognize me. She thought I was a monster. She had no clue who I was. And I would try to calm her down and say, listen, it's just mommy. Nothing's going to hurt you. It's okay. I'm right here. I'll protect you, you know. And then she'd go back to bed. But that used to happen for many years, and sometimes 4 or 5 times a night. And it got to the point I was getting tired of this. And one night she had this dream, and she remembered this dream. So I asked her, what kind of dream did you have? I said, mommy, it was weird, but I was in the forest. The trees weren't like normal trees. They looked kind of weird-looking trees. And the grass was really weird-looking, too. And all of a sudden, I saw this weird light, like a flashlight hitting the floor next to me, but big, really big and really bright. And all I saw is these two beings coming down from this light next to me. They were very small, same size as her, she says, same height. And I got scared. I ran away from them because I really got scared. And I said, well, what did you do after? They said they caught up to me, mommy. And they asked me not, they told me not to be afraid. And I turned around, but I couldn't talk. I was scared. I didn't know what to say or what to do. And I said, well, what did they do? And they said, well, they reached for me. They raised their hand towards me, and they said they wanted me to hold their hands and to go with them. I said, okay. Did you go with them? And she says, yeah. I was scared, but I still went. And all of a sudden, she felt floated and went into this weird-looking ship, right? And she went into a room. There were other kids there, other little children. They were sitting down on the floor. I guess there was this screen and right on the wall. It's like, it's not a TV, but it was like right on the wall. You know, like you could touch it and it's right on the wall. It's like a screening. It was weird. And she said there were other creatures there. But one of them looked like me, like us, like a human, but really white, you know, really pale-looking skin, ugly. Looked like it was a sick man, more or less, right? And the other ones were skinnier and scary-looking. Didn't look like us. And I asked her, what did you see, what happened, like, what was on the screen? She goes, scary stuff. And I didn't want to watch it. It was boring, and I wanted to leave. But they forced us to watch this thing on TV. But I kept looking away, but they kept telling me, you have to watch what's on. Like, they must have shown them something on TV. I don't know, but my daughter did say this to me. I do believe her, only the fact that, what's the point of lying? She's sick enough. She doesn't have anything to gain. Okay, she's a child that didn't even know how to lie. Okay? So anyways, like I said, my daughter told me this story, and it was kind of freaky. I don't know if it was a dream or if it really did happen to her. It could have been... I mean, she's learned that she only screams at night, and usually if you're being abducted, the rest of the family don't always know. So it's kind of hard to tell. But how would she have known about these aliens? She never knew about this. I mean, she was too young to even be discovered about aliens. What the hell would that come from? She's never seen photos. We don't watch movies like with aliens like that at the time. We don't watch, we only watch cartoons. Like Dora. You see aliens in Doras? No. I mean, she doesn't even watch the things that I watch on TV. Now I do. Now she sees them because I'm more involved in it. But at the time, when she told me that story, I wouldn't even look at alien shows in front of my daughters. They were at school, or they were at their mom, grandma's. And when that came out, I thought, I wish I knew what he was watching on that screen. Like, I mean, if it was that horrible, why would they show that to children? But then I realized it made a lot of sense, because children, they absorb and they remember a lot better than we would. Like, I don't even remember what I did last week. You know what I mean? Because they're fresh, and they're vulnerable, and they're delicate, and they're easier to control. It made a lot of sense to me to make children watch something that they need them to see, because they are our future. They are the one that are going to be around when we die. So it made a lot of sense. I just wish I knew what they did see. But she didn't like it. Apparently it was very scary and very frightening. And she wanted to go home, but they wouldn't let her go home. Not yet. And that's all she told me. That's the only story. Well, that's the story that she has told me. Now, the latest story, there was another one that she told me about. This story wasn't that long ago, actually. It shocked me because, wow. She said that there were these creatures, these aliens, because she knew about the aliens again, because she saw them. And she said that they came back, and they came and seen her, and decided to, she had no choice. She had to go with them, okay? You can't stop them. They can force you to go. And she went to this ship, and she went into another room. And it was very nice and clean. There were beds in this room, though. Beds. A pillow and a blanket. And she was alone in that room. There were a bunch of beds. Not just one bed, a bunch of them. And she said that she was pretty hungry and thirsty. And they decided to get herself some food and some milk. And what she said is that she saw this creature bringing a cow into the room. And she said that they took out milk out of this cow, mommy, and it didn't look good. But I was thirsty. And they gave her a glass of milk. She said it was warm and very thick, very gross. She didn't like it, but she drank it. And then when they got the milk and they were done with this cow, this was a live cow, and brought it back into another room, took it out of the room that she was in. And they brought her a chicken sandwich, like food. It was like cooked and everything. It was, they had live chickens that she said that she saw. And she said that they had live animals in this ship, in different rooms. One would be cows, the others were chicken. And I asked her, like, were they in the same room or whatever? And she said, no, I just saw them as we went by, the chicken. We saw them when she walked through this hallway and into this one room where the beds were. But what shocked me the most is that how in the hell did she know that they had cows in the ship? Why were they alive? Usually they abduct them and kill them, right? And make surgery and all that. But these weren't dead ones. They were alive. They were literally keeping them alive for people that were abducted for longer than so many hours. They would feed them somehow. Because you do get hungry eventually. I don't know if it was only for the children or for adults as well. But how would Tanya know that there were cows in the ship getting, that you can get milk out of that? She was saying that they were getting it from the, you know, their nipple. And she even said that this milk didn't taste good. I mean, she drank it, didn't kill her, but she didn't like it. It was warm, it was ugh, gross. That's all she said. Now, the only thing I think that's pretty neat is because she doesn't know how it tastes like. We've never given her milk like that. We don't have cows. Only farms do. We don't have anybody in our family that has cows. How would she have known that? So that freaked me out a little. But that was her story, and that's what she told me. That's what she remembered. So I left it at that. I have asked her if they ever came back, and she says, no, not yet. They haven't come back yet. Because I asked her. But, now, I don't know if they've done something to Camille with her genetic. The doctors, like I said, in Ottawa, there's Dr. Zudzuik, now, apparently she's a specialist on growth, and she can't even figure her out. Like, why are you sending her tests or her blood tests and all her tests that we're going to go in to do around the world to the finest scientists to figure her out why she's not growing, why her sugar is doing this? We're not treating her as a guinea pig, but they are trying very hard to figure her out. She is a unique child. People around her just adore her. She's polite. She's quiet. And she loves to help people. And she keeps to herself. She's a loner. At school, she does not have too many friends. She plays on her own in the corner. I know she's very disturbed inside. She's angry at the world for things, what things are happening to her, because she is losing the battle. I don't know if they have put something in her for her not to grow. I'm not too good with doctor scientist stuff. The chemicals and all the, you know, I'm not a scientist. I don't know any of that stuff. But I do know one thing. Something is happening to her, and we don't know what it is. It shouldn't be happening to her. I've always been sick throughout my pregnancies. I have lost one already, my first child. She was also very sick, but she didn't. She only survived for like 2 months. She was pretty damaged. She was pretty sick. She was only 1 pound, 3 ounce. And then came along. She was 3 pounds, 3 ounces, though. My third was 6 pounds. She was perfectly, like perfect. No problem. Now, maybe I'm trying to block a lot of my past. I have discovered that if you ask them not to remember the incidents and all these tests that they're doing, they won't let you remember. Because I've asked them, I have enough problems. Do not let me remember. You could do whatever you want. Just don't make me remember what you've done. Because I won't be able to handle it. And I'd probably go mental and crazy. So that's why, it's probably because I have blocked a lot, or they have helped me block a lot. Because I don't want to remember the things that they've done. Thinking of, oh my God, this needle going into my eye. You think I'm going to be able to handle that? No, I can't. And I think they know that. But, I don't think she's learned how to tell them not to, she doesn't want to remember. Because she told me two stories already that they're not letting her not remember. Because she does remember certain things. But for me, they're not stupid. Okay, like, these graves, I remember that they did come and got me one time. And my heart was pounding 1,000 miles a minute. And all of a sudden, I just grabbed their arm. I don't think they were expecting that. Because it probably shocked them too, because my brain didn't even pop into my head that I was grabbing them, okay? It wasn't in my head, it's just reflex. You know, a reflex, it's not like you're thinking it, you're just doing it. Well, that's what I did. It was a reflex, I grabbed their arms, and I squeezed so hard. But for some reason, they let me grab their arms, because they could have just done something for me to let go, and they didn't. For some reason, they let me grab them. And when I grabbed them, I gently loosened up because I knew what they were. I knew who they were. It's like there was a calm in me. And then they literally let me rub them. They let me touch them. And their colors, they didn't have a suit on. They had their skin. It was a skin. It wasn't like a suit, a white suit or a black suit. It wasn't. They had their skin. I was in their ship in this one room. It wasn't. There are areas that are darker than other areas. In certain areas, when they're really bright, that's where they do their experiment. When it's really, really bright, because they really need to see. And there were places where they were just a little lighter, but not too bright. And when I grabbed them, I started feeling them. You know when you grab somebody's hand and you want to feel them? They had no hair. It was like, not like a lizard feeling. It was almost like a lizard, but it's not. It's not rough. It wasn't rough. It was actually rubbery, very thick, thicker than ours, our skin. And the color, they had different colors in different areas of their body. It's like, I don't want to offend anybody, but when you see a black person, you see different colors. They're darker on top and paler on the
underside.
On the underside, yeah. Well, this was almost like that. It was like a grayish color, but then it had on the underside, it was like a whitish color, whitish gray, a dull gray, you know. And their skin, their faces were like darker areas, like not brown, but a darker grayish brown, you know, certain areas. Like, it looked pretty ugly, actually. But the skin, it was thick. It was like rubbery, like rubber. It wasn't a suit that they had on. It was literally the skin itself, because I felt that skin. They had, it's like bones. When I was touching them, they felt bumps, like long bumps, like a skin over it. You know, you saw the bones. You knew that they had bones in them. I couldn't see the bone itself, but I felt the bones. So they had bones. The fingers, that was another story. They had sucking cups. They were long. They weren't straight. They had bumps on their fingers, bumps. And the tip, it had like sucking cups. Like, you know these sucking cups?
Oh, little suction cups?
Yeah.
Like you put in the window and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, just, they were small, but they were very small, they're very delicate. They acted like, I don't know what they were, but they treated it very delicate, like very, very important to their body, these things. You could tell that they were moving very slowly with their fingers because they didn't want to get hurt with these things. I don't know if these things were, when they touch something, it affects a lot. I don't know what they were, but that's what they had. They had sucking cups all in their fingers. They were about four fingers, because I remember there were these three long ones, like when I was a young child. And the little one, there was one little one, but there were three long ones and one little one. And all I remembered is that when I grabbed that hand, I could go all the way around. I can literally go all the way around their skin when I grab them. But when I grabbed them, it wasn't over here. It was up higher. So they were really skinny. Like, when I grabbed them, it was really skinny. They have an elbow because it was close to the elbow when they bent their arm. So I knew. I saw the elbow. Very skinny. Very long, but skinny. But this side was not bigger than this side. They were all the same size. Mm. They were all like a toothpick. There was no shape. There was no... This side was bigger than this side. It was all just long, but with bone structure in it.
Like from the shoulder all the way down to the wrist.
Yeah. But the skin... Like, if I would have took in a knife and cut them, it would have been hard skin, but it would have been cut. I felt the... But they're very thick. But it would have been hard to cut them. It's just... The skin was just phenomenal, and the color. It wasn't a... Yeah, like I said, the skin, and it's just remembering and feeling that is just, they're not, see, that's the thing. They can literally make you forget or make you remember things. It's up to them. They've got the technology to do it, and I believe that. If they really wanted you to remember something, they'll make you remember it. Now, for me, UFOs and flying saucers and all that, sure, that's amazing, but not as amazing as being abducted or knowing. That's UFOs, sure, it's a ship that flies around, and yes, they are out there. But to me, what's more important is the abductions, because they're trying to tell us something, but they don't know how. They don't know how to communicate with us, because we've got all these damn emotions and fear and anger, because they don't have any of that. They don't know how to communicate with us in the way that they should. They don't know if, you know, not to say the wrong thing or the right thing, because they don't know. There are aliens that are, sure, they're out there somewhere. I don't know where they come from, but they are curious. Wouldn't we be if we'd be in another planet? Shit, I'd be trying to find out as much as we can by them and try to communicate with them somehow in our own way. That's probably what they're doing, is trying to communicate, but how? They don't want to disturb our ways of living. And they also don't want to do or say the wrong thing that could disturb the government. And I'm sure they've dealt with the government already and probably already know their situation and how they're reacting and, oh, wow, these humans are lying to each other. Even the, you know, the main, like the government, like lying to the public. What do you think the aliens are thinking about us? They're probably saying, well, this is a species that don't have any control over each other, of themselves. And they figure if they're going to react like this, why not just abduct a few and find out more about how we live and how we can... Okay, yes, they are trying to make more of us, or trying to make them look like us, because... Okay, they are a dying breed. But that's one kind of alien. What about the other aliens that are visiting us? Like reptilians and the great whites, the greats or the tall whites, and the ones that almost look like us. They have a purpose. They have their own culture. I'm not too sure why there's just so many aliens out there, or But I do remember that one time they send a beacon or to try to say, hello, aliens, we're out here, and some of them, not the Greys, but I'm talking about another species, decided to come closer to the planet and discovered us because they heard our saying hello to them, because they had these big, what are they called?
The dish.
Apparently they have communicated with the aliens. They didn't know if they should say hello to them or because they contacted us. And maybe these aliens are new aliens that came down that, decided to look into us more. But the Greys were probably here throughout their lives. Just like the tall whites. Apparently they've been here a lot longer, just as much. But the thing is that I know it's out there, and I know I'm not crazy because of... My daughter wouldn't lie about this. Now, she has enough problems, and how in the hell would she have known about a cow and the taste of that milk and not being good? Now, the aliens must know that... milk cows, we drink it because it's good for us. It's just you have to add water or whatever to make it taste better. But I know something's been happening to my daughter. I don't know what it is. Now, I don't know if something's happening to my other daughter, but I do know that she had her moments. She's never told me anything about... She does talk about monsters, and there's monsters in my room. I'm scared of my room. I want to go to the other room. So maybe it has happened to her, too. It could have been just in her mind or dreams. I can't depend on that. She's never told me too many about the Greys or any aliens, so I can't depend on her on that. But she's old enough. She's 8 years old. I mean... It's just, all I can remember is all what I've told you. I can't, I don't know if that's going to help, but